2. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you noticed me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done, and may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you've come to take refuge." Verse 13, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have one of the standings of one of your servants." Verse 13 again, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." Amen. Now, y'all, I'm gonna tell you the truth. When I was studying this text, and then when I studied the text, I had two things jump out of this text that just blessed my soul. On one hand, I was studying the text because the kind of love that Boaz showed, the kind of concern that Boaz showed, he, as a believer, expresses love for a foreigner in a way that really describes it describes how important it is for, and the need that everybody needs to be loved. We all need to be loved. We all need to feel that we are loved. But there is a way that many of us feel loved when it's expressed, yes, in a certain kind of way. Because just to say the words, "I love you," is you can say it, but folk don't always feel what you say. One of the reasons we're going to be studying the five love languages in the upcoming revival is because folk can say love, but that don't mean you feel love by just the way they say it. Now, for some folk, an affirmation, that's all they need. For others, love, they feel loved when you spend some quality time with them. Amen. For others, it's an unexpected gift. Doesn't have to be expensive or fancy, just the fact that you thought about them, an unexpected gift can be. For some, one of the ones my wife really loves, it's an act of service to help along the way. The matter of fact, to be partner, to serve together. And then for some folk are touchy-feely, and they like they like to be touched every now and then. And y'all, I ain't got time to do it today, but touching and sex ain't the same thing. I ain't got time to do it today, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it, because they want to be touched don't mean they want to fellowship. I'm on my way somewhere. Stay with me. And we see this expressed out in this relationship as we look at this man and how he engages with his team and how he engages with this foreigner. That's one thing. But then I couldn't help the fact that as I looked at Boaz, there are some things that if you're working and you're in management, or if you're working under management, there's some great qualities that we see in Boaz. And I think that whether you're working under somebody, or whether you're working over someone, or whether you're even in family, there's some qualities that Boaz expressed, and then the context of where, of me getting back to that, to this verse where she says, "You've put me at ease." I wanna take you back and show you a few of those qualities, and then we'll close out, because ultimately Boaz operates in a way that he seeks to love not just her, but you'll see his love for all people. And it's a beautiful thing. Let me put a tag on this text. I want to talk about the qualities of a great manager. The qualities of a great manager. And Boaz, he is a manager. He is an owner. He's a manager. Let me do it like this. The first thing I want to share with you is that in verse number 4, you see one of the qualities of Boaz as a great manager. I'll tell you that Boaz is a boss who cares. He cares. Look at verse 4 with me. He's somebody who cares. How do I know that he cares? Look at the text. It says, "Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem." See, a good boss, if you want to be an owner of anything, you better show up sometime. A good manager cares. He cares by showing up. You got to show up. Ain't going to take me long to get on this, because if you don't show up, if something happens when the owner shows up. People need to know that the owner will show up, that the owner cares enough to show up. And here's one of the reasons why you need to show up, because you need to show up because it's good to put your own eyes on it. You got to put your own eyes on it. Sometimes people will say, "Oh, everything's fine, everything's cool, oh, it's wonderful, it's wonderful." But Erica, I'm going to tell you right now, people can call you and give you a report and say, "Oh, everything's wonderful," but every now and then, you know, you got to go and put your own eyes on it, because it might be wonderful for them, but it may not be at the right level for you. I like Boaz because what he teaches us, one of the things you need to know, whether you're starting a business or whether you're in a supervisory role, every now and then you need to show up, because you can't take everybody's word for it. You do know there are some people that aren't there to see things roll. They just there to get a check. And they don't care if you prosper or not. They just there to get a check. Matter of fact, they get there as, you know, because you know you put in the policy, you ain't late till 7 minutes after. And you know when they show up, a lot of them will show up 10 minutes after and say, I'm almost on time. But I like it. We see it right here in the Bible. He shows up. He cares enough to show up. He shows up and he puts his own eyes on it. Here's, look at the next verse. The next verse, not only does he care, but he's concerned about his team. Now listen, some of y'all will say, well, Pastor, isn't caring and concerned about your team the same thing? Not necessarily. Could care because he's got his money in it, but he's concerned about the people. He's concerned about the people on his team. He's concerned about the team members. Let me show you how I saw this. Look at verse number four. It's right there in verse number four. He arrives from Bethlehem, and watch what he does. He greets the harvesters. He greets the workers. He's concerned about his team. Look who he talks to first. He greets his workers. He starts talking to the workers. In other words, I like this guy because even though he owns the farm, even though he owns the operation, he's humble enough to talk to the workers. He spends time. He stops long enough. He's got enough time to talk to the workers. Here's what you better know if you ever own a company or if you're ever in an operation, it's not the machinery that's going to make you profitable. It's all about the people. And he greets the workers first. He knows that they are the one that carries the load. They're the ones that are doing the work. And we see right here in the text, read it. He greets the heart. These aren't a bunch of educated folk necessarily. These aren't a bunch of skilled workers. These are just people. You got to be strong enough to walk to the field, stay on your feet, able to bend over. Ain't take a whole lot of skill. But here's what I love about it. Even though they're not really highly skilled or anything, they're still appreciated. And he greets the workers. He greets the workers first. And then look how he greets them. Not only does he greet them, but he pronounces a blessing on them. Let me see if I can find it. Right there in verse 4, he says, "The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you." Look at this guy. He is somebody who cares enough to show up. He's somebody who's concerned about the team. He's somebody who's humble enough to talk to everybody, and he's somebody that wants the Lord to bless his team. May the Lord be with you. You want to be working with some folk that want to see you blessed, not just by the company, but blessed by the Lord. May the Lord, I wish y'all could catch this thing. May the Lord be with you. And watch this. He wants to see the people blessed. You see that? Now keep on reading. And the people want to see him blessed. He says, "May the Lord be with you." And their response is, "And with you too." Because listen what you got going on here. You got a relationship where they understand they need each other. They prosper together. They want the owner wants to see the people blessed, and the people want to see the owner blessed. And you know, it's hard to stab somebody in the back right after you said, "The Lord be with you." It's hard to be insensitive to somebody when you just said, "The Lord be with you." It's hard for you to want somebody to work and you know they need to be home because they're sick when you say, "And the Lord be with you." It's hard for somebody to cut your check all because right after you say, "And the Lord be." The Lord be with you. Y'all need to stay with this thing because some of y'all know what you're thinking. Some of you, you aren't in management. Let me put a comma right there. Yet. You don't know what the Lord has in store around the corner. He's concerned. He's concerned about his team. He pronounces a blessing on them, and they bless him back. And may the Lord be with you as well. Because we need each other. We need each other. You've seen operations where people are dependent on each other all the time. When you call your doctor, he don't answer the phone. When you show up and you don't talk to the doctor, because that's not the best use of his time. If you were to talk, if he had to greet you at the door and then spend time taking your weight and your blood pressure, I mean, there's somebody else that can do that just as well. And so people need to be able to be diverse, and you got to spread it so that you can serve more people. That makes sense. And so even though he has a different role, listen, if they're in production, if he's there running the machine, who's going to go out and make the sales? If he's running, if he's fixing the machines, who's going to go build relationships so you'll have another customer to build some stuff for? You need each other. We ought to have, if nobody else understands this, the people of God, believers need to know it's in the Bible where we are called to humble ourselves and to work together. We want to, look, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, work as unto the Lord. Work as if the Lord's your boss. Don't do it to their standard. Do it to God's standards. That's what King was talking about when he was saying, even if you sweep streets, when you get done, everybody should say, now doggone it, if you want somebody that can sweep some trees. Now that brother right there, he does it like Michelangelo carved marble. He cares. He's concerned about his team. And here's what I love about it. Here's what else you see. You see consistency in leadership. You see consistency in leadership. Thank God for the babies. He's practicing his hoop. We don't know what he's going to be in days to come. Thank God for the babies. There's consistency in leadership. Let me show you what, watch the text. I'm telling y'all. Boaz shows up because he cares. Boaz engages in conversation with the people because he's concerned. He wants to see everybody blessed, pronounces a blessing upon them. And then when he talks, after he talks to the workers, the text says, then he talks to, the NIV version says, the overseer. This is the supervisor. Now he's talking to the supervisor. And as he's spending time talking to the supervisor, he recognizes he's listening and looking. He's listening to the supervisor, but he's also looking. And as he's looking around, he sees somebody that's new. Now this individual is not on payroll. This individual is not a worker, but it's somebody who's new. It's in the field. Now, here's what you don't get, because I know you're wondering, how in the world can she just show up? Well, God has a system in place so that his people will always have some resources to be blessed. You'll find it in In Leviticus 25, 25, the people are taught that, the Jews are taught that when you grow a crop and when it's time to harvest the crop, when you get to the end of the field, you don't go all the way to the corner. You go so far and then you cut the corner. You leave the corners for the poor. And then while you're gathering the stuff, if you're putting it on the wagon, if something happens to fall off, you don't pick it down. You don't bend down and pick it up so that you get every part. You leave it for the poor, because God always is interested in providing for people. Now, these are people that may not necessarily be Jews, but the rule was you cut the corner, you leave that for the poor, so that the poor could come and glean. That's the word. Gleaning is picking up the leftovers. Because there's some folk that can make it off some other folks' leftovers. She's gleaning. Now, it's interesting that God's provision for the poor, it's in the field. God is concerned about poor folk. You may not own it, you may not have a job, but I'm going to provide for you. But your food is in the field. I ain't gonna deliver it. It's in the field. Now, you may not own the land, but if you're hungry, it's in the field. Are y'all seeing this? In other words, she still has to accept some responsibility. I'm going to make sure you have what you need to survive, but I ain't going to bring it to your house. You've got to go get it because it's in the field. And some folk, you sitting around waiting for a ship. The ship don't come up streets. Ships don't roll up driveways. What you need, it ain't in it's in the field. You've got to go get it. And watch what he does. He sees, he recognizes. Hey, he says, who's that? Who's that young lady? And who does she belong to? Who's she connected with? Now, I love this because what I'm telling you, what I'm trying to show you is that there's consistency in leadership. Boaz is a Jew. Boaz is a believer. Boaz has rules, has the Bible, the Torah. He has the Word of God to operate his life and his business under. And what I love about that, Boaz has consistency in leadership. In other words, what he believes, his managers believe. And he has implemented a culture in his business where the people who are in leadership value what he values. They don't get to set their own rules and all that. No, they have to value what he values. And watch this. He values the Word of God. He values what the Bible says. He values doing business the way the Bible says do business. And here's what's so beautiful about this story. We don't know the name of this overseer. We don't know his name. But here's what we do know. We do know that he aligns himself with the values of Boaz. Because when Boaz says to him, she's new. Who's that? Watch what happens. He knows everything about her. Why? Because he's operating under Boaz's values. He's operating under the Word of God. This is somebody that he has entered into a relationship with because of the values that he has. He knows who she is. He knows her background. He knows her circumstances. And he knows that she too is operating under the values and the word of God. She understands what God has done, that God has provided. She understands that though she's in a destitute situation, God has provided, and what he has provided for is in the field, and so she don't sleep in. She ain't waiting until after lunch to go put in no application. She's up early, and she's made it to a field to glean because that's how God has provided. This guy, this overseer, I don't know who he is, but mother, he has a relationship. He knows who this young lady is. He knows who she is. And here's what I like about this thing. Watch this. He gives her a reference. He gives her a reference. Now, let me explain. A resume is all right. Thank you. A reference is better. Did you hear me? I said a resume, that's cool. But a reference is much better. I heard you. Somebody back here said, well, what's the difference? You ask a real good question. See, a resume is what you say about you. With a resume, that's what you write down about yourself. And just about everybody I know always grade themselves on a good curve. Because we go say the best things about ourselves, even though it may be marginal. What we say is one thing, but when somebody else speaks for you, that's something else. Listen to it. He knows her well enough to give a reference. Listen to him. She's a Moabite. She came from Moab. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law. She showed up this morning and she said, please, let me glean. let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and she'd been here all day. She did take one little break under the shelter, but she'd been working all day long. Now watch this, verse number 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, stop right there. Because between verse 7 and verse 8, there's a whole lot more going on. There's a lot more going on. This is not a conversation that took a minute. Because when Boaz finally speaks to her, it's evident that Boaz done some investigation. I don't know if Boaz went and found Naomi, but Boaz been all in her Kool-Aid. He knows a whole lot about her. He knows where she come from. He knows what she been through. He knows about the decisions that she made. He knows everything there is to know about her. He knows the fact that she has taken personal responsibility for a woman when she could have gotten off the hook. She didn't have to be there with Naomi. She could be with her own people. She could be with mom and them. But this woman took responsibility for somebody that she didn't have to take responsibility for. She remained with somebody, caring for somebody that she did not have to care for. She goes to the field to glean on behalf of not just herself, but her mother-in-law. He didn't found out a whole lot about her. And here's what else she's found. He found out the girl, you from Moab. Now y'all don't really get the context of the significance of Moab unless you read chapter 1. Because in chapter 1, there was a time where there was a famine in Bethlehem. And when the famine came to Bethlehem, Naomi and her husband, they went to Moab to work. And they were there for some 10 years. The boys, they were little boys, maybe going into high school. And then when they get there, now they find each one of them marries a Moabite woman, and because that's where they live in, and they found a Moabite woman. But now when you know the story, the husband died and the sons died. And the rule was now the daughters are now free to go back to their own people. And one of them jumped ship and went on back, but it was within her rights. Ruth took the responsibility because she said, you remember that story? You remember that line where she said, no, I know I can go back, but no, I think I'm gonna stay with you. And remember how Naomi said, girl, I ain't got nothing to give you. She said, I'm still gonna stay with you. She said, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't care. I'm gonna stay with you. But she said, I gotta go back to Bethlehem. I don't know nothing about Bethlehem. I've been in Moab all my life. But here's what I do know, I'm staying with you. And then when you read the text, you keep seeing Naomi. Naomi's trying to press her to stay. And she finally said, now look, you can keep on talking if you want, but I made up my mind. Because here's where we go. Where you live, I'm going to live. And your peeps, they're going to be my peeps. But here's the best part. And your God, your God is going to be my God. Here's what, I don't know nothing about Bethlehem, but I have seen something in you. And what I see in you and your God, I want that. I know I've got to leave Moab, but I want some of that. She says, I'm going with you because I'm determined that your God is going to be my God. And listen to Boaz. When Boaz talks to her, he said, girl, I know your story. That didn't happen between verse 7 and 8. It took some time. He went and investigated her story. Can I drop this for you for free? Single ladies, all the single ladies. Any single ladies in the house? Let me help you. Don't chase no man. You ain't got to chase nobody. Because if he wants you, he'll investigate. If he wants you, he'll find out everything there is to know about you. You ain't got to chase him. You ain't got to handcuff him. You ain't got to blow up the phone. If he wants you, he'll let you know. He'll let you know. Keep on, Pastor. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, he investigated, and he says, I've found out about you. And at this point, he knows, hey, she out of my league. He ain't thinking about that. He's just being kind. And I know I heard somebody, yeah, right. We'll ask him when we get to heaven. But at this point, he's being kind. Now watch this. He says when we're at verse 11, he says, I've been told all about you. How you done for your mother-in-law? How you left your father, your mother, your homeland, came to live with these people that you didn't know before. And may the Lord repay you for what you've done. And may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Listen to her in verse number 13. She says to him, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. She said, you've put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. Listen to what she said. She says, this conversation has put me at ease. Well, what was she nervous about? Well, she's a foreigner. But because of the conversation, she's now at ease. She didn't know how she was going to make it. But because of the conversation, she's at ease. She was concerned about how she was going to make it from day to day and care for her old mother-in-law, but now she's at ease because God has provided, has shown himself mighty, shown himself powerful. God's sovereign hand has been at work to get her to this place at this appointed time. Ain't it funny? Because people would call this coincidence. No, I call it God's sovereign timing. Isn't it interesting that God let the boys die, let Naomi decide to come home, and then when they get home, it just so happened to be harvest time. And the field she ends up in just so happened to be Boaz's field, which just so happens to be a relative of Elimelech, who is Naomi's husband. Just so happened. And she comes, she makes all of these decisions with her heart relying and depending on God. You see, here's ultimately why you need to operate with these kinds of qualities. If you're in a leadership role, if you're a manager, or even if you're working underneath somebody, you need to operate with these kinds of qualities because these individuals have heard about your God. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Boaz understands that this woman is here because she has heard about our father. And he knows that he can't let the father down because this woman done heard about how good Jehovah is. So he's got to operate to prove that the God she put her faith in is able to provide. You see, we are living testimonies every single day. And when we talk about and people find out that we're believers, we've got to let them know that the God we serve, he's the real God. The God we serve, he is the provider. The God we serve, he is the protector. And the God we serve, he's got real big wings. And anybody who's willing to come under his wings, he's able to comfort you. He's able to cover you. He's able to protect you. They're depending on us to live out the faith that it takes so that their faith, their living, won't be in vain. I close with this. She says, you put me at ease. Can you imagine? See, one of the things that we know about most women, they do enjoy hearing the detail of the story. Yes. Fellas, you can drive your spouse or significant other crazy if they ask you, how was your day? And you say, it was all right. How was your day? Fine. And for some, they're like, is that all you got to say? They want to know the detail. Who'd you meet today? What's going on with so-and-so? Did so-and-so behave themselves today? They want to know all the detail. Now, sisters ain't got no problem. They give that detail back and forth. Could you imagine what was happening when she gets back home to her mother-in-law? Can you imagine saying, you better fix a pot of coffee? Have I got something to tell you? And when they got to talking back and forth, and then he said, and then he said, and then what you say? Well, I said, and then what did he say? And all of it is reflective of the fact that the sovereign hand of God was working on their behalf. They can't see it at ground level all the time, but from up above, God has been working all the time, moving the pieces, moving the circumstances, correcting the situations. You can trust that the sovereign hand of God is always at work, and he'll move on your behalf. And you've got to trust him. Even when you can't see him, you've got to trust him through the tears. You've got to trust him through heartache. You've got to trust him through setbacks because he's still in control. Yes, the husband died, but he's still in control. Yes, the family is in a strange place, but he's still in control. We've got to go all the way back. We don't know what we're going to face, but let's do it like the songwriter said, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine because the skies may turn to gray. There are many things about tomorrow that I really don't understand, but here's what I do know. I know who holds tomorrow, and the same one who holds tomorrow, he's holding my hand. Every step is getting brighter. Every cloud a silver line. I'm telling you, we don't have to know about tomorrow. Just trust the one who holds it. And you'll discover that he's working, and he's working it for your good. When you read the rest of the story, you'll see that he's consistent, that he's consistent, and God blesses and God provides. And though it was dark one moment, And she said, "You doing this for me? I'm not even a worker. I'm not even on your staff." But she doesn't have to be on staff to be blessed, because he's operating under the will, word, and laws of God. Somebody looking at me right now, you need to know.